reading and comprehending what they read. They watch so many movies, and they entertain themselves on Clickville till they don't hardly know how to read their name in boxcar letters, and that's sad. And you know, I'd be an advocate of getting a good book, and when you got time on your hands, don't just waste it. Get a good book and learn something, or you know, some of the old books that are even in a novel type book, the writers were Christians, and they have a great message that they can inspire you. I've been inspired many times by. Yeah, even Charles Dickens was a religious man. He had some great stuff in some of his books. And anyway, I'm not doing a commercial for Steve, Brother Steve. If you like a book, go out and amen. Why don't you go to the book of Matthew? And I want to preach today the lesson on, amen, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Amen. I think that's a very appropriate lesson for just coming out of youth camp. And that's the lesson we have today. Amen. I'm going to begin with verse 15. Well, we'll begin with 14. We cleansed the temple last week, so let's see what the Lord's got for us. Verse 14, chapter 21. If you love the Bible, say amen. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple. Now, wait a minute. The Bible said he healed them. Now, I want you to look at the atmosphere that they got healed in. He had just driven them out of the temple, the money changers and those that were not being sincere about their worship. He drove them out. And what happened? Well, he split the church is what he did. No, he didn't. What happened when he drove out those insincere worshipers? The Bible said the lame and the sick, those that were infirm, the blind, they came to him in the temple. Now, I want you to imagine this. Here's this man who's lost his composure, driving people out of church, and as soon as he gets them out of the temple, here the blind and the lame come to him wanting healing. Now, does that seem unusual to you? It don't to me when you think about the man that Jesus Christ was. He was the holiest man that ever lived. And he was the most compassionate man that ever lived. You say, how can that be? Well, you ought to know how that can be. Anybody here got the Spirit of Christ in you? Huh? Then you know how that can be. Live a good, clean, holy life. Tell the truth and shame the devil. But love, amen, till down to your last drop of blood. You can do both things, can't you? How many knows you can do two things at one time? Boy, you're not. Oh, yeah. You know, a lot of times people, when they want to, you know, characterize Christ as holy, they'll just beat and bang and claw the hide off of everybody. And they'll say it's holiness or hell, and it is. But we can't use that cliche of holiness or hell to break somebody's neck. That's brutal. Amen? But on the other turn, you've got the other audience that says Jesus is love, and they just want to love everybody. Want to love each other. Hallelujah. Down by the swimming pool. Hallelujah. How many's with me? You can't go on that side either, can you? Because he's not just love, he's holy. And he's not just holy, he's love. He's all of it together. Amen. Isn't that right? So here's the Son of God that just drove These, and he had the authority to do that. It's his Father's house and the unction and the zeal of God. And while he did that, these blind and lame people realized that Christ was in there. It didn't dampen their faith in him at all. Have you ever seen anybody quit church because of somebody in the church? Why would they do that? Because that somebody is not the church. Especially if they've hurt your feelings and slandered you and done wrong by you. They're not even in the church. Hello? Why would you quit going to God's house because somebody is visiting God's house? Don't make sense, does it? Say it with me. Don't make sense. And it's really not the truth. When somebody says, I'm not going down there because so-and-so, that is really not the truth. They're not going down there because they've quit being devoted to what thus saith the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's right. Well, if my arm was long enough, I'd just give me a pat and say, go on and preach a little bit. Hallelujah. But it's the truth, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you, we can have here. Now, let's apply this. We can have the Spirit of God in Christ in this church. Now, listen to me. Where we can live for holiness, and we can pattern holy living by what the Bible says and what is taught, amen, from the Bible in this church. And at the same time, we can be understanding and compassionate and soul-reaching church. Now, can we do both of them at one time? Sure, it's quiet in here. Say it louder, Oh, he quit me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's amen, isn't it? That's where our Savior was. Now, we're going to go on by this. But you know what? He came to him. How many thinks we need this divine healing today? Now, I know the Lord used healing in a lot of ways in the New Testament. He used those healings to prove who he was, to show people his compassion. But the Bible said that by his stripes we are healed. And I know that means spiritually too. And y'all have heard me tell this story before. But there was on the radio years and years ago, some of y'all may have heard it, there was this preacher that had lost his voice. There was some disease that hit him. His vocal cords had shrank. And his voice was so pitiful. He just barely, how many heard that? And he just barely, Brother Todd, you remember, that's been a long time ago. And he got there, they were going to allow him to teach in his church. I don't remember were they Baptist people? Do you remember? It was Baptist, wasn't it? And they got in there and they were going to let him teach because he was the Bible class teacher and he was having to resign because he lost his voice. So he got up I can't remember, Brother Kenny, you might have been the one that sent me the tape or whatever it was or told me to listen to it. But I got to listen to that Baptist teacher. And this is the way he did. He said, I'm going to teach this morning, this last lesson on Isaiah 53. That's the way he talked. He couldn't get it out. And he quoted the verse, by his stripes you're healed. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but he went to teaching that not for divine, bodily healing, but he was teaching that it was, spiritual healing. Israel had backslid and wounded. But as he began to talk, his voice began to get better. And then before that was over, it surprised him. And he began to worship God, shout with his voice, and you could hear those Baptists all in that audience, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And they just had a shout down service. This fellow was healed, preaching on Isaiah 53. By his stripes you're healed. How many knows there's power in the Word of God? And it's not just for our spiritual healing. He had compassion on those men that their blinded eyes. And we need healing in this church. Amen. I need healing in my body. Amen. What I want to do is meet the Savior in the capacity of a healing, compassionate Savior. Amen. Yes, I want to live right to please Him. He requires this of me. Amen. But He is so compassionate. Amen. To care about our physical needs. Are you here this morning and you think I'm going to have to live with this the rest of my life? Maybe not so. If we can touch the Lord in the temple. Somebody say amen. I wish I could preach. Now, I want to go to this verse right here, an intriguing verse. Now, I want you to listen. It says, and when the chief priest, verse 15, the chief priest and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple. Children crying in the temple. Now, they weren't crying in the sense of boo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Look how they were crying. They were crying in the temple saying, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Now here's these chief priests and Pharisees. Now, I'm going to tell you, you don't want to be in the category of a chief priest or Pharisee, because Jesus tore the hide off of them guys every chance he could. Now, they were the theologians. They had the law, and they wouldn't hardly let nobody else read it. They read it for them, told them how to live. Jesus said, you won't go in, and you hinder them that would. And so they taught traditions of men and Judaism. And here they were. Now, listen to me. When these children started praising him in the temple. Now that's what it said. When they began to cry, Hosanna! Savior, save us right now. You're the Messiah. Save us now, Son of David. Boy, it tore these Pharisees up. And they got mad. And they come to Jesus and they said, do you not hear what they're saying? Well, of course he heard what they were saying. Amen. Are y'all here? These children, now look. He went on to say, read that for me right there, before I won't have to go back up there. What's that? Yes, what's that say? Have you never heard out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Would you turn to Psalms number 8? I believe it's the second verse. Amen. Have you never heard? Now I want you to notice, listen. We've been going here to church. Many of you have been going here for years and years and years. You have heard the word of God, and there's some things we ought to know better about. We've already heard it. We know it. We've heard it. Now, God's going to hold us accountable for what we know and what we've heard. Now, here's what he told those Pharisees who were supposed to be. Now, hear me now. The Pharisees were supposed to be in the intellectuals in the scripture realm. And they didn't know that what was going on in that temple at that time was ordained of God and prophesied by the word of God. Now, here are these children. And, you know, we just came out of youth camp. I thought, as I studied this last night and looked it over, and I thought about the camp and you know, hundreds of kids there. I don't know how many exactly. And they were 70-some, 9 years old and down that were in the class. And then there was probably 100 and... I don't know, what would you say, Brother Jeff, 120 or 30 older kids probably, or if not more. They was a couple hundred. And then at night, they just, one night Brother Rusty preached on the mark of the beast and the dragon, and you say, well, that was a little over their head, wasn't it? Well, I hope it was, because it was a little over mine. I hope it was a little over their head. But he did great. I'm not being critical of his preaching, but you'd think, well, a child can't, they're not going to respond to deep revelation, expounding preaching. Did they or not? Did they? When he made the altar call, I think they went to the altar before he got done preaching. When he got to the part about, I kidded him, Sister Helen, he finally got to the coming of the Lord at the end of it, you know, and that was my favorite part. And I said, now, are you post-trib? Do you believe we're going through tribulation? Well, no, why? I said, well, I fell asleep halfway through that, and I woke up, and you had us in tribulation. I didn't know what had happened there. I was just kidding around with you. You say you kid too much. I probably do, but you pray for me, will you? Hallelujah. But we just laughed, and I slapped them on the back. But you know, while he was preaching, A boy that had been in prison for 15 years, tattooed from one end of his finger to the other, came down to the altar, amen, and prayed. I guess he prayed through. I hope he did. And all them kids went in there. Some of them you had to carry out and put in the car. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, if there had been a train run by there about that time and stopped on the track, they'd have went, what? Now 100 years ago, they wouldn't have done that, because that's the way people worshiped back 100 years ago. But these Pharisees saw these kids, and I don't know how many children they were, and I don't know what age they were. They probably, I'd say, about like the group we had over there this week. And the Pharisees went up, is this not out of order, Jesus? Can't you hear what they're saying? Of course he could hear. They were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hey, brother, my Messiah, my Savior, the one has come. I'm going to worship the Lord. Amen. And then Jesus said, don't you remember hearing? Have you never heard? You know, sometimes our ideas and our opinions ought to be brought back, amen, to the Word of God, amen, so we can see, does this line up with what the Bible says? We can't run our lives, amen, on what we think. We've got to run them on what God, amen, has ordained. And so he said, now read that to me, what he said, the Bible said in 8 and 2. Read 8 and 2, Psalm 8, is it 2? Verse 2, listen to this. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemy. Now that don't sound exactly like what Jesus said. Amen. But listen to what Jesus said. He said, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Now, I want to tell you something. That word perfected praise and strength, amen, are really close together. And this is what I want to preach to you. Amen. And a lot of you were at the camp, and I'm not just talking about that. Hey, we have worship here. One of the main deals of our church, amen, is that we allow our children an opportunity, amen, to worship God. We don't push them out from under our feet. We don't put them out in a nursery somewhere, amen, where they don't know what's going on in here. We don't do like some churches and set up a TV with cartoons, amen, so they can occupy themselves. No, we don't do that. Are you listening? We get them in the place where the worship. Oh, yeah, kids are kids, and sometimes they're not sincere. I watched our little boys over there when all that was going on. I peeped up on the altar, and there was our small guys had got their heads together again, and they're getting ready to take a running spell, and they were plotting their course. Yes, sometimes they're too young really to understand the seriousness of it, but we can't set them down. Hey, but are you listening to me? All we do as parents instruct them about feeling for the true way. Are you listening to me? But really, you can't expect a 5-year-old kid, amen, to feel what you haven't felt in 5 years. Whoops. That come out. Forgive me. In a way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you with me? Amen. They're the worship of the Lord. And I'm not just bringing this up to justify, amen, a kid misbehaving and carrying on in a way because the worship's going. That's up to the parent to collar them and say, look, I could tell by the countenance on your face that you were just playing a game. You've got to worship. I want you to run. I want you to run with worship when you feel it. How many's with me here this morning? I know that is what we do here. When these young folks are up here, worshiping God. Amen. Now listen to me. Amen. God ordained that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He ordained. You say, well, I've got a kid up there that won't clean their room. How can they have the Holy Ghost, amen, and not clean their room? You ain't helping me preach this morning. You ought to just turn it on yourself and think of some of the things you don't do, and God still blesses you. Joy is tied on the preacher this morning. Now listen to the pastor. You know me. You know me better than anybody. But it ain't me. It's God. All right, now listen. When these children get up here and worship, that's not recreation. You hear what I'm saying? That's not recreation. That is strength. He said, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, you have perfected praise. Now, you take a little old child Well, my little girl, she prayed this week, needed it bad. Now, I won't embarrass her, but the Lord moved on her deep in here as I looked on her face. And I seen that prayer coming out of her from deep down, not just here, but down in here. And oh, I just cried. Because I knew that's the source of strength. Hear me? And our children, and look, don't get all uptight about, you know, we God can help us as parents and leaders, pastors. We can nurture them in the right track. You understand what I'm saying? But here's what that praise strengthens. Now, if these kids don't quit their sinning, they'll lose what they got. You know that too, don't you? You can't keep, God will bless you once or twice maybe. I don't know how many. But he might bless you, amen, to pull you into doing the right thing. But sooner or later, if they make a habit of doing the wrong thing, then it's gone. They may fake it for a while. You remember Brother Don Tabor talking about his little grandson, Luke? And he's a precious little guy. I don't know how old he is. Anybody know Luke? He's probably, what, 6? Is he older than that, 7? Anyway, I don't know. But anyway, he's just a little boy, cute little guy. And they had that great revival, and he prayed through, and he got up, and he said, and they asked him to testify. And he said, I know y'all don't know what happened to me tonight. He said, but I got saved. He said, all these other times you thought I was saved, I was just faking it. Amen. And he probably was, you know. You know how many knows what I'm talking about? But listen to me. Amen. It was ordained of God in Psalms chapter 8 and verse 2. Out of the mouth of children, babes and sucklings, I have perfected praise. I have strength. That is the worship of the Lord. He asked those Pharisees, don't you know what's going on? They did not want these children praising God. You know why? They didn't believe that Jesus was God. And you know, number two, they knew that if they got in and worshiped Jesus, that they weren't going to get the honor that they thought they deserved. Are you with me? How many is with me? How many knows we have to have a worshiping church? And you know what? Our children, and they worship the Lord, we've got, hey, listen, we've got to have that helping us or we lose our kids. Hear me? I said, we've got to have that move of God among our children or we lose our children. Am I right or not? You can't control them enough with the rod. You can't lay the rules down. When they get a certain age, they may do what you say because you're physically and bodily able to make them do. But they're like the little boy that his daddy told him to sit down and he didn't want to sit down. And finally, he forced him to sit down, and the little boy said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. And that's the way it is. You can force them when they reach a certain age. You can force them to do, and they'll think in their heart, when I get 18, and a lot of times they do. And I'll tell you what, a child that's raised in holiness that never gives their heart to holiness, they'll be worse than any sinner out there. I mean, that's been my observations through the years. Because they know the joy and the power in the house of God, and they turn their back on that, and they try to find something out there equal to what they've been trained, and it ain't out there. And they'll blow their minds and their livers and their good name away trying to find something to fill that void that they walked away from. Am I right or not? Am I preaching too long? Amen. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. How many loves this verse? I've always loved this verse. And not only was Christ telling these Pharisees that those children that they were rebuking were really doing the will of God, what he told them was, you know, I'm getting ready to turn away from you and go to a Gentile people that have never known me. That are simple in the, they don't know the laws of Moses. They've never kept them. But I'm getting ready to turn to these people. Amen. And they'll worship me. Because you will not. Were those Pharisees worshiping Jesus? They were not. They did not believe in him. Now let me ask you this morning, before we wind this thing down. And, you know, as a preacher, and the responsibility of having to hear from God and deliver the words of the Lord to people that are bound for eternity, that is an awesome deal. And when Jesus brought up to these Pharisees, how was it he said it? Have you not heard? Is that the way it said it? Have you not heard? Listen, I want to encourage my church here this morning. Don't miss what the Lord is saying and get distracted and end up not knowing. You know, and I know this may not apply exactly, but I've seen people backslide. Now, sometimes people think people can't do it, but I've seen enough of it, I know they can. People backslide. And I mean people that used to quote the Bible, love the Bible, witness to other people, love holiness, lived it, and they backslide. I've seen this over and over. And then when they have backslid just a little while, they say, I never did believe all that stuff. No way. But they're lying through their teeth what they're doing. But you know what? And you watch those people down and you'll meet them years later and they don't have any concept about morality and decency and what is proper and right and acceptable to God. They have no idea. You say, how can that happen? Because God pulls that out of their heart. He leaves them by themselves because they've rejected him and they're just lost. Aimlessly lost. Are you listening to me? I tell you, if you know the truth this morning, you ought to buy it. You ought to hold on to it. Amen. Now what they were doing in this, and I'm almost done, but you know, we are in a church world that have just about forgot how to serve the Lord. And the reason they forgot how is and I'm not putting too much emphasis here, but the pulpits have tried to please everybody to where they don't even have a standard anymore. And the people that sit there don't know how to live. And you say, well, and their biggest deal is they say, you know, we don't want a judgmental preacher. But really, God called preachers to tell the people the difference in the holy and the profane. That's what the Bible called preachers for, to tell people the difference in the holy and the profane. Instruction. The word of God is given for correction. Instruction. In righteousness. Is that right? How many loves, amen, the God that gives you instruction? We don't know everything. We've got to learn. We've got to be taught. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost, when it comes, our children, they shouted, they laid, they cried, they wept, they laughed, they you know, but the bottom line is that Holy Ghost comes to comfort, and I'm telling you, teenage kids need comfort of the Holy Ghost. Because it is a wild world out there. And he's also came not only to comfort, to guide. How should I react? The Holy Ghost will guide you in all truth. How many believes in that this morning? How many wants to love and please the Lord? Now if you're here this morning and you just want to live to suit yourself, then you don't need the Holy Ghost. If you don't have it, that might be one of the reasons. You've got to tell the Lord right off. Now, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to let him guide me. I ain't going to run my own life. Because the Holy Ghost will not stay when you try to drive all the time. You got to turn the wheel to the Spirit. Is that right? Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. I really do. Now, the worship of the Lord out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Amen. There is strength, perfected praise. The Bible said, yea, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany and lodged there. I'm done. I'm gonna close out with this. Did you get the message this morning? Sometimes if you deal with one little spot in the message people get to dwell on. They get forgetting the whole picture. But I want you to try to think of the whole picture here this morning. Now, God has a way that he wants his church to operate. How many believes that? And we've got to seek the Lord's will and his inspiration in how we run our church, how we run our lives, how we treat one another. We've got to put God first. God's will for our lives. And when he said, "Have you not read?" Praise God. Here's what I want to leave you with. I would recommend you reading the Word of God and remembering what you read. Now, I'm not talking about memorizing. I mean, if you can memorize Scripture, great. But when you hear a truth in that Bible, remember it. Because there'll be a day that you might get wrong. And you'll have to go back and the Bible will say, "Did you not read?" And that'll clear everything up. Can you say amen? Well, I love you. God bless you. Let's stand. Hallelujah.